gracious, right? Pasuk, hey, the fifth pasuk or the first perek. Vayikra Elokim, and God called Le'or Yom. He gave a name. It's the first time he called something. He called it a name. U'l'choshech, and to the darkness, Kara Laila. He called it night. Vayi Erev, and it was evening. Vayi Boker, and it was morning. Yom Echad, one day. Now, Rashi's dealing with one problem here. There's a few things that we have to understand. We have to understand what's the concept of calling the light day or night. What's calling mean?
Naming,
yeah. What does naming mean something? What does that mean? But Rashi's not dealing with that. Not here, at least. We'll get to deal with that later on. And then you have now, beginning, we have a beginning of day. We have the first concept, conceptually, day. Evening starts the day, and then some. That's how the Jewish day starts. It starts with the evening, and then you have the day, and that's a Jewish day. And the first day is called not Yom Rishon, not the first day, it's called the one day. So Rashi has a problem here. Why is this called day one? It should be called the first day. Because the second day is called Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi'i. Each day should be called according to the day that it is, right? So why does Rashi say Yom? Why does the Chumash say Yom Echad? So let's see Rashi. So Rashi says, Lefish Seder, Loshin HaParasha, according to the order, the Loshin, the language of our Parasha, Haya Lo Lichtov, it should have written, Yom Rishon, the first day, Kamo Shekhtu B'Shai Yamim, like it wrote the other days, Sheini, Shlishi, Revi'i, second, third, fourth. Lama Katav Echad, why did it say one day? Lefish Haya Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yochid Ba'olamo, he was the only one in his world. Shalom Nivru Hamalachim, the angels weren't created, even the spiritual forms were not created. Ad Yom Sheini, Ken Mufurish Babracious Rabbah. So that's what the remez is to the Torah here. The Torah says Yom Echad. So now, guys, right, let's go back. What was created on the first day? We have all the spiritual worlds, the Or, right? We have these four concepts of, you know, spiritual metaphysics of Afa, dust, water, spirit, and then fire, which is metaphysics. We're not talking about physical things. And that's the lower spiritual world. And within that, we have the cosmos. We have the cosmos, okay? So now, if you were to learn Chumash, say, like, let's just go deal with a question that a lot of people ask. Well, the year is 5,700 etc. years old, starting on the first day of creation, right? That's what we count. How long do you think is the first day of creation? Do you think there's a concept of time?
No.
No. Because all, not our concept, because all that existed in the first day of creation was what? According to Chumash, God. Oh, we do have God. It's representation. I mean, all this is an emanation of God. The spiritual worlds, right? And the beginning of the formation of the lower spiritual worlds, we haven't yet come down to the cosmos, right? That was all created on the first day. That's what we described beforehand. So all there was God, correct?
So the time didn't exist at the...
You tell me, is the concept of time, if you only have God and the creation of the physical, spirit, metaphysical
that
worlds...
That means that the Big Bang didn't happen, because the Big Bang created time.
Right, that means the physical world didn't yet happen. We're still
this
speaking.
Is all the spiritual
this
world.
Is all metaphysical. We didn't even have angels yet. So forget about Mr. Earth, Mother Earth, not Mr. Earth, Mother Earth, right? So in the first day, do we have a concept of time? No. So if anyone wants to say maybe the world is X million years old, carbon dating, etc., right? The cosmos, not the world, I don't know the world, but the cosmos is X million years old, right? Maybe. There's no concept of time here, right? It's not against Judaism, because Judaism is not dealing with the physical representation of order of creation. I'm just repeating that so you guys understand that I'm not making this up. Chumash Rashi we're learning, right? It's a pretty basic explanation. It's a midrash. It's not explaining physical world. It's not coming to teach us Big Bang Theory or how the world was created. It's coming to teach us Torah. Now, what piece of Torah are we learning here? That all was created in the first world was one. I.e., God's unity was what was on the first day of creation. What do I need to know that? That all that was God, therefore it says, Yom Echad, unity. Representing God's unity.
It was already there, or it was created there?
Huh? Here we have the creation of all the spiritual worlds, and the lower for spiritual worlds. We don't yet have the creation of the Malachim, and that was done on the first day by Yehi Or. And all we have is God's presence, which is represented in unity. That means all the spiritual worlds and all the lower spiritual worlds. What is represented in them? His unity. That means if you were to see this form shouts out God's unity. You with me? Mm-hmm. That means light and darkness shouts out God's unity. What does Choshech represent? If all represents God's presence, what does Choshech represent? A lack of his presence. Darkness, which we already said is din, which is ra, evil in the world. Right? So that means also evil in the world ultimately is expression of his unity. Mm. Right? That means we're learning from the first day of creation that even ra in the world is a representation of God's unity ultimately. What's representative of God? Vayio. Tov. God represents ultimate goodness. That means even Ra, the shorish of Ra is Tov. You with me? The root of Ra is good, ultimately. You can't see that, right? That you have to be on a very high level. You have to be in these metaphysical worlds to see that. Even the level of Malachim isn't yet here. That means it's beyond the level of Malachim to see this unity. You with me? I mean, Malachim can see it. I don't mean that. Malachim can see it, but It's a very high perception, this perception of unity. You with me? You understand what I'm saying? That's a piece of Torah learning. I mean, there's more than what I'm saying. Now, let's go a little bit back. When we call something a name, night and day, that means night is a time of darkness, day is a time of light. What does darkness represent? You see something, it's dark. You can't.
Uncertain.
You can't see in front of you. You can fall over things. Right? Like Mesirah Shasharan says, you see a block. You think it's a man. Your dimion works more. You know, children are scared of the dark. It's not because what's it called? They were taught to be scared of the darkness. Children, everyone's frightened of uncertainty. When something's dark, so your imagination, right? You're insecure, so your imagination flows. Right? There's uncertainty. Galus, or at this level of uncertainty, the non-seeing of God, so to speak, the non-seeing of his light, is represented in the night. That's the darkness. That's what's representation. That's what it's called. It represents this concept. So nighttime represents this darkness, so to speak, ra in the world. That's what we say. Lagid chasdecha baboche, his goodness in his night. Ve'emunatecha balayla, and our emuna, our trust in God at night, because there's uncertainty. When there's uncertainty, you need more trust. Chesed is the time of the morning. Boke, what's the lashon of boke? Boke is levakeh cholim, biku cholim. What is biku cholim? It doesn't mean to visit the sick, it doesn't mean that. Biku cholim means, levakeh in Hebrew means to check out. To see, when you go and visit a chole, to see the doctors are treating him properly. He's getting the right medicine. He's doing, you know, he's... I mean, we may not be able to do that, but that's, if just by us going, maybe they'll treat him better. Biku chole, that's biku. Levakeh, to check in the morning, right? You can check things out. It's clear, there's clarity. Clarity gives you the ability to check things out. Day is a time of clarity. Clarity is a representation of God's presence. Now, the Gemara says, Boke, day, it says, Tiha Yoma, was a clarification of the day. Tahara, purity, is a concept of clarity. Tuma, which is impurity, is a concept of night. Why? Because Tuma is a lotion of, Rashi says in many places, Atima. Atima means blockage. Aleph Tet Mem, right? Is the same letters as Tuma, Tet Mem Aleph, right? The same letters. Rashi says that's what Tuma is. Tuma is the Atima. That means there's something which is can be you could see, but it's closed away from you. I.e., the concept of Tuma, the concept of darkness, is that God's presence is there, but it's closed away. It's nista, it's hidden. Right? The world we live in is a world of darkness, of negation of God's presence. It's called olam. Olam comes from ne'elam, that God's hidden in the world. Right? And you understand why? Because in order for there to be a creation, he had to remove himself from the world and only somewhat be in the world, that we spoke about yesterday. Okay? Clear? Everyone's clear? Questions?
Just some prayers.
Vayomer Elokim, Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Elokim, and God said, Yehi Rakia, let there be a Rakia. We know what a Rakia is? No clue. Let there be a Rakia, Bitoch Hamayim, in the middle of the waters. Right? V'yemavdil bein mayim lemayim, and it will separate between the waters and the waters. V'yas Elokim, and God made et harakia. He made this rakia. I'll say infirmament, but I don't know what that means either. V'yavdil, and he separated bein hamayim, between the waters, asher mitachat l'rakia, below the rakia, l'bein hamayim, asher me'al l'rakia, and between the waters on top of the rakia. Vayichein, and it was thus. Vayikra Elokim l'rakia shamayim, and he called the rakia, this firmament, heavens. Vayera v'yiboke yom sheni. So yom sheni, we created the heavens, right? Now, obviously, there's the heavens is this firmament, and there's water on the top and water below, right? So now we understand what the heavens are. There's this water on the top, water below. And what's above water? There's Ruach, and there's Eish, and then there's the spiritual worlds, right? So what's the purpose of this Rakia, which we call heavens? What does it mean, this? What is this apostle teaching us? What does this mean, Bichlal? And now remember, we have this the second Vayavdel. The first Vayavdel is Or V'choshech, right? The good from the bad. This is another Yavdel. Whenever we come to Havdalah, it's a separation of something. Right? What do we need a separation for? So let's see Rashi. What is, I'm going to try and understand a little bit. Yehi rakia, let there be a rakia. So Rashi says, Yitchazek rakia, let strengthen the rakia, the infirmament. Sha'afal pi shenivru shamayim biyom rishon. Because Rashi has a kasha here. When was shamayim created? Bereshis bara rakim. Et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz. The first day. So now in the second day we're creating the heavens. We created already in the first day. Right?
Yeah.
A straight contradiction. Right. So what does Rashi say? Doesn't mean we created it. Vayas doesn't mean we created it. Vayas means we strengthened it. So it means there was heavens in the first day and we strengthened it in the second day. Oh good, that's nice to know. Now I understand. Right? So we strengthened the heavens in the second day. Yitchazek harakia. Adayin lachim hayu. They were wet. Probably the waters above or the waters below were wetting them, right? They were wet. Right? V'kaushu. And they became, like how you say kaushu, like your keresh, is like to make something strong, like a...
Strength,
like a beam. It means like, or kaushu hamayim means that it became ice. Right? The ice age. Ice, right? Bishani on the second day. How did it become ice? How did it become firm? Migarat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouted at it. Ba'omro, when it said, Yehi Rakia. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouts, guys. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouted at the heavens and said, Be a Rakia. And then it became firm. Right? V'zeh Shekatuv. And this is what it means. Amude Shemaim Yirofafu. The foundations of the heavens were weak. Ko Yom Rishon, the whole of the first day. Ubesheni, on the second day, Yitmahu, they became wondered. They became wondered, Migarato, from the shouting of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ka Adam, like a man, Shemishtomem, that becomes wondered or surprised, va'omid migarat, from the fear, hamayim alav, someone who's mayim alav, someone who is like threatening him. So there's a certain threatening of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to say, be a rakia. That means the rakia does not want to be a rakia. The teva of the rakia, the teva of this separation of the above waters to the low waters, does not want to be a separation. We don't want the above waters to separate from the lower waters. The teva of the situation is the lower waters and the below waters want to be together. So I'm just trying to work out things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouts at the Rakia, says, be a Rakia, do your tafkid, do your job, separate between the lower waters and the upper waters. But the teva habri is the upper waters and the lower waters want to be together. Okay? And the purpose of the heavens is to separate. We'll see, you understand what this means. Betoch hamayim, it will be in the middle of the waters. Be'emsa hamayim, sheyesh hefresh, there's a difference between mayim ha'elyonu, the upper waters, l'rakia, to the rakia, k'mo bein harakia l'mayim sh'al ha'aretz. The difference between the upper waters to the rakia is the difference between the rakia to the lower waters on the land. Halamata shem tluyim b'mamaro shel melech. They are dependent or hanging according to the words of the king. Right? Vayase Elokim et harakia, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu made this rakia. Tiknu al omdo, he fixed it on its position. V'yasiyato, and that's considered making it. K'mo ba'astet serponea, she did her fingers, nails. Right? That's considered fixing it. What? Fixing its place is making it. Me'al rakia, and what did he do? He put the ma'im Hashem al rakia. Right? Al rakia means lo ne'ma ele me'al rakia l'fi shehen tluyim ba'avir. Standing in the avir, the mayim above. Okay. Umnipnei malo ne'ma kitov. It doesn't say it was good what God did. Biyom sheni. Lefi shelo haya nigma malachet hamayim. The waters didn't finish. The work of the waters weren't finished. Ad yom shlishi, until the third day. Vare hitchil ba b'sheni. It only started on the second day. V'dav shelo nigma, something which isn't finished. Einam b'mluah, isn't in its fullness. V'tuvo, and goodness, u'b'shlishi shenigmara, and on the third day, which was finished, melechet hamayim, the work of the waters, v'tchil v'gome melacha acheret, and it then finishes a different melacha. Kafu bo kitov, it says twice kitov, because it didn't say kitov on the second day, so it does double kitov on the third day, shnei pamim, twice, achad l'gma melechet hasheni, for the finishing of the melacha of the second day, v'achad l'gma melechet hayom, and for the finishing of the work of the third day. So now, let's go back and just recap. So now we read something which is completely incorrigible. Right? We said, the heavens were created on the first day. They were rafui. They were weak. Right? So, Kodesh Baruch Hu shouted at the Rakia, which is the heavens, on the second day. Right? And it made it into a firmament to separate between the upper waters and the lower waters. Lower waters is the waters down here on the land. The upper waters are there in the heavens, and you need a rakia to separate between them. And the desire of these waters, obviously these are the spiritual waters, this is what we understand as the representation of the physical waters, right? The two waters want to come together. And the rakia, because of the fear of a Kodesh Baruch Hu saying, be a rakia, that means do your tafkid, do your job, stays in its position. But from teva hadvarim, they want to be together, right? Now we're also telling us that this was not good, because the Torah doesn't say to call it good. Only calls it good when it's finished. And the finishing of the heavens, or the finishing of the work of the waters, was done on the third day. What was done on the third day? We have the making of the seas and the dry land. That's what we begin to speak about Mother Earth, right? So we jump from spiritual world of Yom Sheni straight to Mother Earth and Yom Shlishi. So somewhere in the middle, millions and billions of years took place, right? So you understand we're not talking in time like we think. Okay? Anyway, now, what is this teaching us? What piece of Torah are we learning from here? What are we learning? What is this coming to tell us? Right? Sounds very weird, right? What do we need a separation? And this separation is called heavens. And we know from Rashi beforehand that heavens are made from Eish and Mayim. Eish and Mayim don't mix, do they? What are we talking about? But it's Mayim. Okay. So I have to introduce concept here. We see from Chumash that there's a desire of the upper worlds to connect with the lower worlds. That's what this water represents. The water, before the third day, all you had in the lower world is this massive water, right? Covering Arfa, right? Because that's what we explained. Remember when we spoke about it before? This is the representation of the physical. In the physical world, you have this Mother Earth and water covering it, right? That's the physical. That's Arfa and Mayim above it. But the metaphysical also works like that. The middle is Arfa, and above that is Mayim. Then there's Ruach, right? So now, within the waters itself, we need a separation. Why? Because the desire of the waters are to connect. Waters have desire? And you have to separate them. What does it mean desire? What does it mean desire? Huh? Hamayim ha'elyonim, the above waters, scharim, are male. V'hatachtonim, and the lower waters, nekeva. Hen omrim, they say, elu le'elu, kiblu otanu, accept us. Atem briotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'anachnu shluchav, and we're his messengers. Miyad hem mikablim otam, the lower waters, the above waters. And that's what it says, v'tiftach ha'aretz, the aretz land opens up, k'nekeva, she potachet lezachar, that opens itself up to a male. Bahare gshamim, the waters, hem his dagvut, the connection of shamayim v'aretz, the heavens and the earth. V'kashem yorodim, and when they come down to land, kol ha'olam smechim, all the world is happy. Right? Lechen. Okay, that's it. Now, the Rabbeinu Bechai explains that Geshem, what the word Geshem means. You heard of Gashmias? Gashmias means physicality, rain. What does Geshem mean? It means Or Elyon, the above light, the Or, the divine presence, Shemit Geshem, that becomes a physical form. So when we're talking about desire of the Mayim Elyonim to connect with the lower waters, that's the desire of a male to a female. And that connection brings out Geshamim, rain. Rain represents the connection of the spiritual with the physical world, like a male to a female. You with me?
Mashbiyah Makabal.
It means, and that's all Elyon Shemit Geshem, the above presence, divine presence, which became physical. So it's a representation of that. It does not literally mean that, but it's a representation of that. Now, therefore, now we have to understand. So desire, intrinsic to the world, is what? That God wants the spiritual to be expressed in the physical, like a man to a woman. How does a man connect to a woman? He expresses his essence in the world. When rain comes into the world, what happens to the world? The world grows. It expresses what it is. Mother Earth. You have the Amazon forests. You have everything, right? Okay, it's an expression. Also, there's an expression of the spiritual world. That's the physical world. There's the expression of the spiritual world. God's presence is expressed. God, however, says no. And that sounds stupid. Why does God... Shemayim is about, this Rakia is about, don't connect.
Because the only way it can connect is if it's separate.
One second. What do you mean don't connect? Why does God have to say don't connect? What's the purpose of the creation? Is the purpose of the creation that God directly connects with the world? Or is the purpose of creation, the innate to creation, innate, that's the desire. Innate to creation is desire of the above spiritual world connecting to the lower spiritual world. That's innate to creation. God says, let there be a separation. Right? Let there be a separation. Why? Because whose purpose is to make that connection? God innately made into the world the desire to connect, for the spiritual to be expressed in the physical. But he didn't allow it to happen automatically. There's that innate desire. Because it's up to man, and we'll see that when Adam HaRishon prays for rain, it's man which connects the upper spiritual worlds to the lower spiritual worlds and brings on rain. That's our purpose. So we have to understand something. Innate to creation is desire to express the spiritual worlds and the physical worlds. That's innate. God separated the spiritual from the physical, like he separated himself from the world, in order to allow man work. Man's prayer or man's avoda will bring the spiritual influence of the world into this physical world, and there'll be connection between Mayim Elyonim and things. So the Rakia is that place, so to speak, in the metaphysical world which separates so-called the spiritual worlds from the physical worlds. And from this Rakia to the spiritual worlds is equal distance to the spiritual, to the physical. And the Tluyim Ba'avir, that means you have some place which is called a Rakia, separation, which God says there has to be a separation to the physical and the spiritual. And they are equally separated. Why do they have to be equally separated?
Just like it was in the circle that you mentioned the other day. It's about half and half. Or
half and half. Why? Why do they have to be equal? Why can't this one be a little closer, this one a little bit further? Why have to be equally separated? Rashi says they have equally separated. Tluim b'ma'am ha'roshal kori pochu. Why equal?
So they each have an equal draw?
What happens when they come together? They're exactly together. Right? When they're together, we have rain. When they're like a man and woman, they're together. We have rain. When they're separate, so what would you expect? The closer they are together, the closer they are together, the closer heaven is to earth. There's closer there's expression. So they finally come together, right? Mm-hmm. There's rain. There's full expression of the physical, spiritual, and the physical. That means the level of separation is equidistant. Why? Because this is the concept of free will. You understand this concept? There has to be an equilibrium in the world. If we separate ourselves through our actions, through Kodesh Baruch Hu, the spiritual worlds also separate from us. If we go down in the physical, the spiritual goes up, further away from us. It's equidistant. You understand? That's what it's representing. When we're completely b'shleimus, right? Complete connection, the spiritual and the physical, right? Then the spiritual and the physical are connected, and there's shalom in the world. There's completion in the world. Now, it doesn't say ki tov on the second day. Because the separation of the physical from the spiritual is not a good thing. It's a bad thing. You can't say tov about something which is separation of physical to spiritual. You with me? Make sense? So you can't say ki tov. When do you say ki tov? Only we have a complete thing. So that can only be said on the second day. Now make sense?
Yeah?
Clear? Vayom Elokim, and God said, Yikavu Hamayim, let the waters be gathered. Mitachat Hashamayim, the waters that are under the heavens. I was talking about the Mayim Tachton in the lower waters. El Mokom Echad, let them be gathered to one place. V'tira'e Hayabasha, and let the land be seen. Vayihi Chen, and let that be. And it was that way. Vayikra, now we're going to get Vayikra. Vayikra Elohim, and God called Liyabasha Eretz, to the dry land, Ulamikva Hamayim, and to the gathering of the waters, Kara Yamim. He called seas, Yamim, like Mayim. Vayar Elohim Titov, and God saw that this was good, because that's the finishing of Melechus Hamayim. Okay? So let's do that. What does Rashi say here? Okay. Yikavu hamayim, hayu shtuchim al pnei kol haaretz. They were flat on the whole land. V'kavam, v'yikavam b'ukianus, and he gathered them on the ukianus, the oceans, maybe the Atlantic Ocean. Hu hayam agadol, I think that's the big yam. Shebechol hayamim, of all the waters, seas. V'kara yamim, and he called them seas, plural. Why did he call them plural seas? Why not singular? He called them yam. You call them yam. Let's go to the yam, you say in Hebrew. You say, he called them plural yamim. Why call them seas, different seas? Why are they plural? Why the seas have different names? All joined, one big sea. Why you call them seas? Halo yam echadu. It's one big sea. It's all connected. Ela eina dome. Why is this coming to teach us? Eina dome tam dag, the taste of fish, sha'ole min hayam ba'ako, that you fish in Ako. Ledaga ole min hayam ba'spamia, the taste of the fish that you get in Spain. Oh! A bit of cookery the Torah is teaching us. That if you want to, if you pick up a fish, like say a salmon, or I don't know what you pick up in Akko, you pick up a tuna fish in Akko, it won't be the same taste as a tuna fish you pick up in Spain. It'll have a different taste because of the different seas, or maybe they're speaking about different types of fish, I don't know. But that's what the Torah is coming to teach us.
Why would it want to teach us?
Pick your fish according to the seas you're in.
The fish doesn't mean fish.
First of all, going back to our thing, we see that we jumped from creating the heavens and the spiritual world. All of a sudden we come to Mother Earth. So it means all the billions and zillions and trillions, I don't know how many years, that were between Yom Sheni and Yom Shlishi happened to happen. Right? We didn't discuss creating the cosmos, the stars, etc. We didn't discuss that yet. We go straight to Mother Earth. Why?
That's not important.
Why? Because the purpose of the creation is the creation of man. Where does man live? Mother Earth. So we discuss Mother Earth. So now the Torah is teaching us what? There's a concept of land, and there's a concept of waters, right? On the earth. And that there was originally waters, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathered the waters and made seas. Each sea is different. And he called the land Aretz, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And now he's telling something about the seas, that each sea has a different taste of its fish. That's why it's called seas.
Are we still talking in a metaphysical sense, or this is now in a physical
this
sense?
This is now, look, it's not teaching us how the land was created. It's telling that God created the land,
right,
and he removed. God did this. How he did it isn't telling us. We did it.
But this is talking about the actual land itself.
Yeah, this is not talking about the actual land. But it's still talking about Torah.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, there's a piece of Torah it's teaching us. Because it's teaching us something which is to do with us. So why do we need to know that the seas, that a dag sha'olem, this sea is different from the taste of a dag in a different sea?
Talking about maybe different cultures that are going to develop?
In the seas? In the dags?
But
tell in the land. The animals in this land. What was created first? First of all, he's telling us, did it talk about creating fish? Hello? Did it talk about creating fish? Are there fish yet? Are there fish?
No.
No. So, we haven't yet talked about fish, but it's talking about the taste of the fish is different from different seas. I.e., there's intrinsic difference to different parts of the world. There's an intrinsic difference in the seas. Now, where would you expect there to be more of a difference? In land or in seas?
Land.
Land, right? It's not a big issue for you to know that people in this country are different from people in this country, or animals in this country are different because they're different animals. But seas is one big thing. Lands can be different masses of land, so you can understand the separation. But we're telling you here that even the seas, who are one mass, there's a difference in what?
Taste of the fish.
Taste of the fish in the seas. What does it mean, the taste of the fish? What do we have fish for? For their taste, right? For us, the Nafka Mina is its taste. But it's telling you there's an intrinsic difference in different parts of the world.
Yeah. The biology in the seas is different. The Torah's trying to tell us that there's just inherently going to be
a difference.
Differences all over the world.
Right. There's going to be inherent difference in the world. There's going to be places are going to cause difference. If the sea, which is one global mass, has differences, obviously the land, which is separate global mass, has differences. But there's going to be intrinsic differences in the world based on the geography of the world. What is that? What do we need to know that for? What piece of Torah is that telling us?
That there will be differentiation of species.
The difference of species. We're going to see that anyway, but there's going to be differences. What do we care if there's going to be differences? What's it teaching us?
Man.
Differences. Who created this difference?
God.
God. That means the source for all these differences is one source. That means when I see differences in the world, don't associate it with a pluralistic being who created. Associate it with a unity, because God created these differences. He called them by definition. The differences that you see in the world, the basic difference, the most basic thing is the seas. There's a difference in the seas. There's a difference. Vada, there's a difference in land. There's a plurality of the world. That plurality has a unity behind it. It was created through God. When you see differences, don't associate that with an intrinsic difference. That intrinsic difference comes from one unit source. So you, when you go, but even the basic things in the world, the intrinsic, which is one mass, there's no such thing as the, you wouldn't expect the sea to be different. Look, they're all the same. It's the same H2O, right? The same salt, the same thing, whatever it has. But the dag was affected in different seasons. It's one mass. There's a difference. There's a lot of plurality in the world. That plurality God created. Now, why did He create that plurality? What piece of Torah we learned from that plurality? Why there has to be the difference? Why did He create all the waters to be the same? All the fish to be the same? All the people to be the same? All the colors of the world to be the same? All the trees to be the same? He could have done that.
There's nothing to do.
What's nothing to do? It's boring. Okay, because no. You can't work. Looks, there will be nothing for geographic, whatever it's called, to read or
no,
talk about.
Our Avoda is connecting God and unifying.
The world is a world of dispersion. The world is a world of differences. The world is why? Why? What does it mean when the world, you see the plurality in the world? And that plurality has unity. Unless, if you don't have plurality, you don't have a place to make a mistake, you don't have a place to make unity. We're beginning to see now that the world has been created with plurality. This is the beginning of plurality. The beginning of differences. Vayavdel, vayavdel. Then all of a sudden the differences. Yamin. It's subtle. But the world has differences. People are different. Nations are different. Even fish are different. Even the sea, which is one mass, is different. There's a plurality in the world. And the purpose of that plurality is to come eventually to?
Oneness
of God. Means the world is going to more and more plurality. And our purpose is to see the unity of that plurality. You understand? That's the piece of Torah, or a piece of Torah we can learn from this. The purpose of humanity is to take that plurality and unify it. Human form, or life,
oh, yeah.
Wherever you see life form is always a bringing of plurality to unity. You take whatever you see a piece of plastic, make a chair, you make a thing. It's a form. Wherever you see form, you see life. A person scratches himself, it becomes healed. That's against entropy. Wherever you see entropy, you spill a cup of water, you don't get a beautiful painting, you get a mess. But you see, if someone did a water painting, it's a beautiful thing. Wherever you see form, you see human concept. You see human concept. So whenever we see that form, right? That's what we're saying. The nature of the world, God creates plurality. Our purpose is to what? Unify that plurality. Yeah, go. What do you want?